Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Let's run and rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Hello, 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 and welcome once again to this Saturday show. It is the FSP show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and taking the place of Mr. Vic Gardner, who is away still until the end of April. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Let me tell you something, people. We're going to be talking about things that have been going on in men's college basketball. Women's college in the March Madness that's been going on since Wednesday. And we're also going to be talking about just slightly. Now, I just mentioned it. Women's March Madness is starting this weekend. But the real news is, if you had a bracket, if you filled it out in ESPN, and the millions of thousands, of hundreds of thousands of people filled out brackets all over the country, in whatever site you filled them out, whether it was Yahoo, whether it was ESPN, hoping to win that $1 million or whatever, that dream prize. That's all I got to say is it's laughable. The things that took place on Thursday didn't knock you out, it sure had to do it on Friday. Let me tell you something. I want to recap just for the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday, what's taken place and what screwed a lot of people out of many brackets that they filled out. And that screwed them out. They're just thrown out, and they're just hoping that they can salvage something out of the bloodletting that's been going on with these lower seeds, killing, in some cases, humiliating these higher seeds in these different brackets. Let's start what took place on Wednesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, which would be the 21st. What took place on the 21st was, this is a mild one, it's not a real big upset, number 8. Colorado State, and I'm starting in the Midwest, people. Number 8 Colorado State went up against number 9 Missouri, and Missouri took care of that. 8-9, you're tossing a coin there, you're taking a shot, and because it could go either way. And I tell you right now, Colorado took it. And took it pretty handily, 84-72. I can understand that, okay? And then we go over to the other portion, another part of the bracket, Oklahoma State, number 5 in the bracket, going up against number 12, Oregon. Now, you think that number 5, Oklahoma State, since they're ranked in this bracket as the fifth best team in the bracket, would show up? Well, they showed up, but they only showed up to score 55 points compared to Oregon kicking their ass, 68-55. Come on. And if that wasn't bad enough, then you get to St. Louis going up against New Mexico State. Right? St. Louis wins that, which they're supposed to. What else do I want to come here? Oh, that's what I wanted to do. Then we'll move on to, I'm just going to be talking about what took place in the last few days. Then we're going to go into this one, over into the West. Wisconsin goes up. Wisconsin, who's the number five, and who played well in the Big Ten, especially down the stretch. If I'm not mistaken, they won the Big Ten title. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I thought they did. Wisconsin was playing well. They go up against number 12, Mississippi. Number 12, Mississippi. Okay? So we've already had a five go out, which is number Oklahoma State. So, hello. Where do we go? Number 5, Wisconsin, goes up against number 12, Mississippi, in the West bracket. And gets their asses kicked. 57-46. It wasn't even close. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And if that wasn't bad enough, you got the number 4 seed, Kansas State, going up against number 13, LaSalle. LaSalle? Come on. And what happens there? LaSalle squeaks it out, holds on to win 63-61 in a huge upset. And this is pretty fun. I would say funny, but it's just, this is sad. This is real sad. Because in the same bracket, number 3. Now, we already had a 5 and a 4 seed go in the West bracket. The number 3 seed in the bracket, New Mexico, going up against Harvard, number 14 seeded Harvard. And New Mexico loses this by 6, 68-62, and causes a beat writer that's been covering New Mexico for the longest, for some people's life, not lifetime, but 30 years he's been covering New Mexico, to quit. Said he's never going to watch another New Mexico game, never going to cover it again. He quit because he's tired of New Mexico breaking the hearts of the fans, and I guess especially him. How in all God's name a number 5 seed loses to a number 12 seed, a number 4 seed loses to a number 13 seed, and a number 3 seed loses to a number 14 seed, all in the same bracket, and all between yesterday and Thursday? Are you kidding me? So that means Gonzaga, for the most part, doesn't have to worry about 3, 4, or 5 seed. Only has to worry about basically the number 2 seed, which is Ohio State, because if believe it or not, Gonzaga had a hard time beating number 16 Southern in their first game. The number 1 seed, Gonzaga, goes up against number 16 Southern University. Number 16, Southern University, just loses 64-68 to the number 1 seed. 6 points difference. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, I in the beginning, at one point, I decided I wasn't going to fill out these brackets. I was just going to let it go and just watch the games because, you know, it's because there's so much parity in college basketball this year that I just had a feeling, not that I knew all of what's going to take place or I exactly picked it. I'm not going to even come close to saying that. But I knew that why even put myself through the task of making the picks and getting frustrated and shaking my head and getting calls from my friends like, can you believe this team beat this team? And it is unbelievable. I just knew, or had a feeling, a strong feeling, because the way the whole college basketball season has been going, that something like this was going to happen. I didn't know, well, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen in the early rounds, which it did. You get a 3, 4, 5 seed out of one bracket. You get a number of 5 seeds, which is not that bad out of one certain bracket. And I haven't even gone on to the other side and talked about what took place in the South and the East. I'll get to that in a minute. But to just see some of the things that happened over the period of the last 2 days, 2 days into the tournament, and this is crazy. So this is a wake-up call to a lot of teams, a lot of higher-seeded teams that have a lot of aspirations of getting to the Sweet 16 or to the Elite Eight or even to the Final Four, much less the final two, to decide who's going to be the champion of college basketball this year. So, but, you know, if teams didn't wake up on Thursday when they saw teams that went down that shouldn't have went down, go down, and teams that earlier in the day saw higher-rated teams go down that definitely shouldn't have gone down, then what the hell happened to one of my favorite teams in all of college basketball? And it's been a favorite team of mine for a long time. Patrick Ewing, Allen Iverson, and to just Alonzo Mourning, Sleepy Floyd, to just name a few of the players that came out of this organization. And Georgetown, number 2 rated in the South, Georgetown, plays a lowly college. I hate to say it like this. This college has only been in Division I for the second season. It's the second year they're in Division I playing. They've already beat Miami of Florida. They beat them earlier, I think it was back in November. Pulled off a stunning, absolutely stunning upset last night. And it wasn't even close. And toward the end of the game, they're throwing lobs and throwing lob pass and then dunking. And it had to be one of the most humiliating losses in Georgetown history. I'm telling you, John Thompson III, he's got to be shaking his damn head. Like, what the heck happened? Florida Gulf Coast University. I know people, who the heck is that? Well, you know who they are now because they just knocked off the number 2 seed in the south portion of this bracket, Georgetown. And like I said, it wasn't even close. 68-78, and they get on top and win by 10. That is unacceptable. You got to be kidding me. How the heck could Georgetown possibly lose and lose handily to a team like they had no clue? Georgetown, one of the top 10 teams rated, at least in the top 5, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen the latest poll, but they got to be up there in the top 10. Absolutely top 10. And they lose to an unrated 15th seeded Florida Gulf Coast University. And I know, like I said, who the heck is that? Well, their next opponent, who happens to be San Diego State University, who beat Oklahoma, is going to find out. They play tomorrow at around 7 o'clock tomorrow. And you know there's going to be a lot of people tuning in to find out who the heck is Florida Gulf Coast University. Just like there's going to be people watching Ole Miss and LaSalle and Harvard to see if these teams are going to get on the Cinderella ride. And I haven't even gotten to UNLV facing California, number 5 UNLV facing California, who's a 12th seed. And what happens? Number 12 California. I don't know how, but 64-61 UNLV, you're out of there. You're watching everyone else play that's still in the tournament, but you lost and you got to go home. Now, the number one seeds, like I said, the Gonzaga struggled, but they won, and they advanced. They went in advance. The number one seed over in the Midwest, Louisville, won handily, like they're supposed to do, 79-48. Number one, Kansas, against number 16, Western Kentucky. 7-point win. Uh-oh. Can you say a vulnerable number one seed? I can say that. Western Kentucky only lost by 7 points. Okay, guess who Kansas plays next? Seems like it's inevitable. These two teams play each other in the tournament year in and year out, somewhere in the for some reason, and it doesn't stop here. Number one, KU, plays number 8 seeded UNC, University of North Carolina. That should be very interesting. They also play tomorrow on Sunday around 5:30. There's going to be a lot of people watching that game. Me being one of them. Number 1 in the Eastern bracket. Easily handled their number 16 seed they had to go up against. I'm talking about Indiana, the Big Ten. 83-62, James Madison disposed of them, just like they're supposed to do. So the number one seed over in the East and the number one seed over in the Midwest handled their business handily, while the two number one seeds in the West and the South had 7-point wins. Who is benefiting the most from that? A blowout win in the beginning or a single-digit win in the beginning? Who benefits from that? Does Louisville and Indiana sit on their laurels and because they won so easily? Are they that much more dominant, or the opponents that much more inferior? And we can also say, take it the other way. The ones that the team Gonzaga played and the team Kansas played, were they were they better teams that played those Gonzaga and Kansas over the who played Louisville and Indiana? Or those number one seeds aren't as strong as you could possibly think of. I guess it's going to be played out in the following games to see if Louisville and Indiana can dominate in their respective brackets moving on to the next game. Number one, Louisville, is going to be playing number 8. Colorado State, and number one Indiana is going to be playing the number nine seed Temple. So their comparative ranking that the number one seed is going to be playing. Gonzaga is going to play the number nine seed, and Kansas is going to play the number 8 seed. Number 9 seed for against the number 9 seed, which is Wichita State, goes up against Gonzaga. And the number 8 seed, UConn, excuse me, University of North Carolina, is going up against Kansas. So I guess it's going to be a true test of what these four teams are truly about. Even though two teams blew out their opponent and two teams struggled to win by 7 against their opponent, 6-7 against their opponent, a much inferior opponent. So this is probably going to be a true test and a true, look into what these teams are really about when they have a mid-round seed going up against them, the 8 and 9 seeds going up against these 1 seeds. So after today, which Gonzaga plays at 8:30, and Louisville plays at 5:30. Compared to Kansas and Indiana, who play tomorrow at 2:30 and 5 o'clock, respectively, we're going to be able to see if these number 1 seeds are what they're supposed to be, or are they absolutely ripe for the taking. Maybe not to this number 9 seed, but maybe for the next Cinderella team, whether it be Mississippi or LaSalle in the West, or Oregon and St. Louis in the Midwest, or VCU or Michigan in the South, or California and Syracuse in the East. But we'll have to wait and see. These things are going to get played out. And I'm really anxious to see how these things happen, because my bracket, I won't say it's blown up, but Georgetown was one of my stronger picks. I had him picked in going all the way to the Elite Eight. Quite naturally, that blew that up. I had New Mexico going to the Elite Eight, and that ain't happening either. So I only played 2 brackets, and then believe it or not, this is God's honest truth. I know the first game started yesterday. It started Thursday at 12 o'clock or whatever it was, and I filled my brackets out. I had time to do it, and I think I filled them out between 11 and 12 o'clock, somewhere around there. I know it was about an hour left before the games actually started. Excuse me. And I filled it out then because I really was torn whether I wanted to do it or not. For the fact is, like I said earlier, I wasn't too sure or I wasn't real confident on picking anything because there's so much parity. There's so much parity going on. And number 1 team very easily could have gotten knocked off. Gonzaga was ripe for the taking, and They barely squeezed by Southern University. So I don't know if Southern University played way above their heads and Gonzaga played way down to their opponent, or Gonzaga took them lightly, or and Southern University is better than most people think. I didn't see the game. Unfortunately, I can't watch every game, but I didn't see that game. But to only win by 6 points against a 16th seed is troubling, to say the least, especially if you're the number 1 team rated in the country. That's troubling. Very troubling. How good are you? How good is the number 1 team? How good is being the number 1 team, which has been not too well taken for over the past season? Number 1 team has been getting knocked off left and right. Seems like once you get named the number 1 team, just wait for the next game and decide where you want to fall down to, because you're not winning that next game and you're not going to be in the number 1 seed anymore. You're going to lose, and then you're going to have to drop down to wherever the opinion poll takes you. Seems like the number 1 seed was only number 1 seed in name only, and none of the teams who ever got put to the number 1 as the number 1 ranking played to that level. Gonzaga, number one seed in the number one ranked in the country, and wins only by 16 against a highly inferior opponent at Southern University. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be very interesting today, tomorrow, who's going to come out of here and be the who's going to come out of the third round. All right. And who's going to play next weekend in the Sweet 16. It'll be very interesting, okay? So, with that being said, we have a few games that are going to take place, we also have the women's bracket of college basketball starting this weekend. Let's look at these brackets, because I happen to be a women's basketball fan. A lot of you may not be, but number one seeds, Oklahoma City, which is, I would say that's probably the Midwest. Yeah, that would be the Midwest. Baylor with the Brittany Griner. Over on the Western, which is in Spokane, Washington, the number one seed is, where the heck is the number one seed at? Stanford, okay. In the East, which is the in Bridgeport, the home, you might say it's a home game, number one seed is going to be Connecticut. And in the South, which is in Norfolk, the number one seed is in Notre Dame. So these games start today. For most, you know, some of them start today, for the next 2 days, to see where it goes from there. One of my favorite teams has always been Connecticut. I like the coach. I like the way he runs his program, I like the whole. I'm a 5'7" guy, 58, 59 about a month and a half. I've played the game of basketball, and quite naturally, being 5'7", for the most part, played it below the rim. So, that's why, one of the reasons why I like the women's game, because it's played below the rim, and it's got to do with a lot of team basketball, and that's what I like. So, if you like women's basketball, then I suggest you watch it, because it's a very interesting to watch. And I apologize for you, because I'm trying to do two things at once here. Okay, now I'm with you. Watch the women's basketball series too. I think you'd be pretty interested in it, because I think it's going to be very interesting also. If you are into basketball, there's nothing wrong with watching women's basketball. It's not I wouldn't say exciting dunks and spectacular plays, but you will get good plays from the women's basketball. It's just a different perspective when watching basketball. So it's just a preference that I have. I do like watching women's men's basketball, especially this time of year, but I'm a real big enthusiastic supporter of women's basketball, and have been for a long time. So it is what it is, hopefully you'll take my advice and watch women's basketball, because it ain't that bad. Trust me, it's not that bad at all. Now, I also wanted to talk about, let me get back here. I also wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about fantasy baseball. And about, right now it's 1:30, give or take, a few minutes one way or the other. And at 3 o'clock, I'll be involved in a fantasy baseball draft. The league I've talked about over the last year or so. Talked to Victor about, talked trash about. First one I've been involved in, I won. From start to finish, I was the number one seed. You all know that. I've talked about it enough. I bragged about it enough. Talked smack about it. And I put this on my site. I put this on this site to my fellow owners. This is exactly what I said. You guys are all suckers. I'm going to win this league again. You guys are all playing for second. And I said that. Now, you're going to say, now, this guy's a jerk. He talks a lot of junk. Well, talking a lot of smack is part of my game. Talking a lot of smack, I enjoy. For those who don't talk smack, you don't understand the philosophy behind it. You don't understand the idea behind it. Or you may not understand it. It may not be for you. You may say, well, why don't you just be quiet and play the game, and when you win, you win. Yeah, but that's I understand that. But I'm not made like that. I'm going to talk about you, then beat you, and then talk about you some more. That's just the bottom line. It's nothing against you, nothing personal. Never, ever, 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 ever personal with me. I think I've only gotten personal with one person that got on the wrong side of me playing fantasy, because it's just fantasy. It's just a game that you got to put your players in place and get lucky and hoping they perform. And I'm telling you, it's not just completely skill. You have to be able to get a little luck involved in order to have things go your way week in and week out, regardless of who you play and when you play them and who you put in front of them. It's all, if you get, you can have the all-star team. You can have the best players in each position of baseball, including pitcher, going up against somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to beat them. You have a better chance of beating them because of who you have, but doesn't guarantee you, because that person, team, can outperform you that one particular day, one particular week. If your players aren't playing right for some reason, and it happens, you could have the best team going, and that week, that day, the stars could be misaligned, and nothing goes right for you. Player gets hurt, two players get hurt, guys striking out, doing all kinds of unimaginable things that they were never done, but for some reason, they're doing those things, or things happen. It happens. So along with being able to put players in position, you have to have the fortune of having them perform the way you expect them to perform. Not necessarily going to happen. You can shake your head and say, "Why that? I didn't win." It happens, just like it happens in fantasy baseball, football. excuse me, fantasy basketball. You put the players in position, but you still have to get lucky enough for them to perform the way you expect them to perform. Doesn't always necessarily happen that way. We got 20 minutes left in the show. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. I did want to do this. I wanted to go through a... Oh, you know what? Let me before I go any further, let me say this. Condolences goes out to the family of Ray Williams. For those who don't know who Ray Williams was, he was a point guard, former guard, not point guard, former guard of the New York Knicks. He averaged about 15 points and 5'8", little less than 6 assists a game in 10 seasons, excuse me, in the NBA. Ray Williams was born the same year I was born, 1954. He passed away at age 58. His 59th birthday was going to be in October. He passed away from colon cancer. He was a personal guy. He had things going on in his life after basketball that a lot of players happen to. But to pass away at such a young age, at age 58, especially from a deadly disease like colon cancer, is a sad day. He passed away yesterday. And like I said, he was 58 years old, a year young, I should say. So God bless you. I send condolences out to Ray Williams' family, and may he rest in peace. All right. Let's move on to this. We have another win. Miami Heat are doing it. Going to Detroit, fall behind in the second half. What happens? Comes out in the third quarter, begins to take the game over, and they go away winning 103. They go away winning 103-89, and the streak is pushed to 25. But you know, let me tell you something, people, and a lot of people aren't, because, and I understand it. 25. The Miami Heat are up to 25 game winning streak. Well, the Denver Nuggets have a, I think it's a 13 or 14 game winning streak, and they're knocking off teams left and right. So no big names on that Denver team. They're pretty much flying under the radar. I don't think they're flying under the radar in the West, though, because the West realizes that these guys are for real, and you can't sleep on them. They're riding a nice wave of a winning streak. They're third in points per game, second in rebounds per game, third in assists per game. Excuse me. And 25th in points allowed. So fourteen straight games and counting. And they go up against the Sacramento Kings, which they should easily at home. They're 31-3 at home. They should easily beat the Sacramento Kings and beat and push this to a 15-game winning streak. And they're doing that with no big name, no superstars like a LeBron, like a Chris Bosh, and a Dwayne Wade, and even Ray Allen. So none of those guys with big names like that are on that team. And they're still winning. They're still doing it like nobody's business. The three games behind Oklahoma. And the last time they played Oklahoma, they beat them. And it's going to be pretty interesting when they have, 12 games left? They have 70 games already in their belt, 82-game season. They got 12 games left, and they're 48-22. Let's say they win half their games, so 54-28. That's a pretty – that's no record to sneeze about. So they go just .500 to win the next they win half their next games, which I doubt – that's going to happen. I think they're probably probably go 8-4, 7-5, somewhere around there. That's pretty impressive, and you got to attribute that to George Karl and his people in getting them guys to buy in and play so well as a team. Especially when they don't have a bona fide superstar, someone that they can say is a bona fide superstar, go-to guy. That so it is what it is. What else I want to talk about here? Talked about the bracket. Talked about some of the winning streak, fantasy baseball. Let me see what I'm going to talk about. Fantasy baseball. I did say at one point I was going to go through the mock draft. Excuse me. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go through and recap the draft tomorrow. I'll let you know how it went, what took place in the draft, how many attended. I'm going to evaluate, and I think it's going to be probably a longer show tomorrow. I think it's usually an hour show, and maybe it turned out to be an hour and a half show because I'm going to be going down the draft. I'm going to be evaluating each pick from each team, where they picked them, and who came out on top in the draft, in my opinion. I mean, everybody else has got their opinion. Everybody who's going to be in the draft is going to have their opinion on they got the best draft. I'm going to say I got the best draft. But we have to wait and see when it actually takes place. I still believe, and people are starting to come around to my way of thinking. But I was, excuse me, damn, I was at the forefront for the most part, and Vic happened to be one of them, saying I was absolutely crazy when I said Mike Trout wasn't the number one pick. Well, a lot of people are starting to evaluate, saying that, hey, he's not a number one. He can be a number one pick, but there's a strong chance that he may regress because of the simple fact that he was a rookie last year. Now, I know, according to Yahoo, they have Mike Trout first, Miguel Cabrera second, Ryan Braun, who I keep on saying it, I'll say it until the day I die. Or that somebody proves me different. I shouldn't say the day I die, but somebody proves me differently that Ryan Braun, in my opinion, is the number one fantasy pick, should be the number one fantasy pick. And then is Robinson Cano, Matt Kemp at number five. And this is according to the rankings that we have. I'm looking at Yahoo. Andrew McCutcheon, sixth. Joey Votto, seventh. Carlos Gonzalez, who's eight. Albert Pujols, nine. Giancarlo Stanton, 10. Now, I tell you right now, Giancarlo Stanton at 10. If you get him at 10, I think you're getting, in my opinion, a bargain. I think Giancarlo Stanton is going to have a huge year this year. I really like Giancarlo Stanton. So you may want to put a little check mark there, and a little asterisk or whatever you want to put there, Giancarlo Stanton, if you happen to get down in the 10-11 range, which I'm going to be, and if I have the opportunity, because the first nine guys I picked, they're going to be, for the most part, they're going to be picked first, okay? They're going to fall, maybe not in the exact order I named them, but they're going to fall within the first nine. I'd be very surprised if any of those that I just named aren't in the first nine of people being picked. I'm in a 12-team baseball league, 12-team, head-to-head. Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, Ryan Braun, Robinson Cano, Matt Kemp, Andrew McCutcheon, Joey Votto, Carlos Gonzalez, and Albert Pujols. Maybe not in that order, but somewhere those two, nine guys are going to be taken first. I'm at pick number 11. I'm going to pick number 11, and that's going to be at 3 o'clock. I'll be pick number 11, waiting for the other 10 guys to make their pick. If Giancarlo Stanton is at pick 11, I guarantee I will take him. I don't have a second-round pick, but that's okay because there's enough good players when it comes back around to me in their third round. In the 35th pick, that I'll get a decent pick, and then we can go from there. I have two picks in the two picks in two other rounds that I'll make up for it. So that's fine. That's fine. So I have two picks in the 10th round. No, it's two picks in the 11th round. So, I mean, that's a little further down. I'm at a disadvantage because I don't have a pick in the second round. But Mr. Blink and Die, now this is key here because Mr. Blink and Die, he has two picks in the second round. No picks in the third round, and no picks in the seventh round. He has to wait to the 10th round to get make up the pick that he lost in the seventh round. So I'm just losing the second round pick, which is, it's all right. I'd make that pick up in the 11th round. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think I picked very well being a rookie last year. I don't want to overthink it. I did one mock draft. Believe it or not, I did one mock draft. I don't know if that's good or bad this year, but I did one mock draft this year. I think I did about three or four last year to get me tuned up for to the draft. But each draft is different. So you can practice all you want, put yourself in different positions in the draft, but it's not going to be the same at your live draft because each draft is different. So you're setting yourself up. So say you got the fifth pick, okay? Say you have the fifth pick, and you're thinking, well, I'm getting Robinson Cano, Matt Kemp, or Andrew McCutchen. Somewhere in there, I'm going to get those guys. Maybe, maybe not. That draft, maybe Robinson Cano gets picked third or second. Miguel Cabrera, Ron Braun drop down to the fifth spot. You never know. In each draft is different, so you may prepare yourself to pick up certain guys, which is fine because then you know that at least you're going to be getting somebody in that range. Kemp, Cano, McCutchen, maybe even Joey Votto, whatever, depending on how it is. But until you get into the draft, until you find out what's going on and how things are getting picked, you never know. There may be a run on pitchers in the first round for some reason, which I would never do. I would never, ever, 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 ever. And I'm almost happy I don't have a second round pick because I don't have to worry about being tempted on taking a pitcher. So I would never take a pitcher in the first round. Real hard thinking about taking a pitcher in the second round or even the third round. I'm a fifth round draft picker for a pitcher, just like I am for a quarterback. I'd rather load up on a couple solid stud position players and then have to deal with getting a pitcher, my first pitcher. And I'm telling you, you go down the line, there's going to be pitchers that are going to be not a Justin Verlander, not a Steven Strasburg or Clayton Kershaw. You're not going to get those. Those pitchers are going to be on probably in the second round. I'd be surprised if they make it to the third round because most people are going to load up, get their stud hitter, and then guys, for some reason, just like the quarterback, they're going to try to get the stud pitcher. When you can get a lot of good pitchers to give you solid innings, solid numbers in your pitching staff, and you don't have to have big names. Quite naturally, you would like big names. If big names fall to you in the fourth or fifth, sixth round, you take them. But there's enough good pitching out there, just like there's enough quarterbacks in fantasy football for the next season, that you can wait on a pitcher. You can wait. You want to grab those studs, the guys that are going to give you some big numbers. You want to rock somebody's world when they step up to the plate. Put the fear into a pitcher when he walks to the plate because they know this guy is capable of turning the game around with one swing. Like a Miguel Cabrera, like a Ryan Braun, like a Matt Kemp, Robinson Cano, Albert Pujols, players like that. Those players further down in the first round more than likely won't be there unless something odd happens. And if something odd happens when you're down in the 11th and 12th pick in a 12-team league, then you pick up and say thank you and keep moving. That's all you do. You just keep moving and hope your rest of your owners in your draft make more mistakes so you can reap the benefits. I'm looking forward to my fellow owners in the draft room to see how big a suckers they're going to be come the draft, and then and quite naturally in this up and coming season. Until the end of this season, I'm still the champ, and you got to knock the champ off. And I still plan to be in the playoffs. Maybe not have the same run, because that was a magical run I had last year. Maybe not the same run that I had last year, but I plan to win it back, to be a back-to-back champion in this league. 12 teams with a nice payday. Wouldn't mind that whatsoever. So hope if any of the owners that are playing in this league are listening, I hope you're ready, because I plan to win it and not take any names. I want to thank everyone for listening to me. I really do thank all you all listening to me. I want to thank you for all for listening to me, and appreciate you spending the time out of your busy day to listen to me rant for an hour. It's only been an hour. It's going to be an hour today because the fact is that there's a few things I have to do before I get ready for my draft. I want to be able to sit back and enjoy picking my fellow owners' pockets in this draft. So tune in next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be an hour and a half. I'm JT. This is the FFP show. Tomorrow is the master plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be recapping our draft, round by round, pick by pick, from the first to the last pick. I'm gonna try to get them all in. And then I'm going to evaluate or analyze each team's draft in total, and give my opinion on who made out the best in the draft, who was the best person in the draft room at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Hopefully everyone will show up. I know Vic, it's got a may not show up. He may have to do an auto draft. He's claiming that he's going to take this. I kind of doubt it. If he does an auto draft and he's going to try to make it up after that, he's going to be falling way behind and do his normal thing of picking up big pitchers. I mean, not picking up enough pitchers and weakening his team by a bunch of hitters and no pitching like he's done for the last two seasons. So we'll see what happens. A lot of teams make that mistake. I will not be one of them. I guarantee it. So 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll evaluate what took place in the draft and give you a final analysis of that. On 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time will be the FSP Cruise Show. That's on Thursday. Tune in for that. I'll be the host. Black and Jeff will be the two co-hosts. We talk about sports. We talk about fantasy. We'll be talking about these games that have taken place for like the last few days, how crazy they've been. And then on Friday, be the No Chaser Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in to that. I'll be the co-host of that. Mac, I think, will be back by then, and we'll be talking about sports or maybe some political stuff, but we go at it, and that's No Chaser, and that's the gloves come off, and we give it to you straight. So with that being said, I want to thank you for listening, and I'm out of here.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.